Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, a podcast where two bearded film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke Condo with a K, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr...
It's Mr. Ben Errington. You're very fidgety during that intro. It was like...
I'm trying to mix it up.
Yeah, there's a lot of this going on. Sorry, I've ruined it now. Which is fine. Adds to the aesthetic.
I want a person to DIY feel like I'm fondling their head whilst I'm talking to them.
Is it like Luke Condor ASMR?
Yeah, come on. Love you.
Oh, love you. Come on then, enjoy this, will you? Come on, have it. Listen to that. Have a bit of that. What's that? I don't even know if that came through. Did that come through, that bit? Scratching
like...
the...
Yeah, it sounds like someone's next to you getting changed.
Next to you getting changed. Someone's got up early and you ain't got to be at work for 2 hours, but they're getting changed.
You can hear him. You don't want to open your eyes because you don't want to start a conversation because you're too tired, so you keep your eyes closed and you hear them getting changed.
Oh, did you sleep well? I'm still doing it, still sleeping.
So Rutger Hauer unfortunately passed away, so we decided to honour Mr. Rutger Hauer by doing one of his films, and we've decided to do today's episode, which I don't know why people always build up the episode, what they're doing, because people don't know what they're listening to. They've clicked on it. It says what it is. It's The Hitcher.
Yeah, that's true. What, like it's going to be a secret? Like someone goes, what we're going to watch, what we watched is, we'll reveal it just before we talk about it, so don't you worry. Yeah, it's The Hitcher. The Hitcher, which I've never seen before. Like, ever.
You've seen the remake? Obviously. The one with Sean
Bean. I know of the remake, but I haven't seen it.
Okay.
So it was one of those weird films that I guess I didn't really know what genre it was. I didn't know if it was a horror. I know it's kind of like a thriller, horror, weird thing.
It's been a strange one. Yeah.
It's definitely a strange one, yeah.
Any news you got there to share with us this week?
No, we jumped to Ed. Got some news. Let's talk about some news. Got a couple of trailers. Don't know if you've seen any trailers. I know how you feel about trailers. But we won't say what's in the trailer.
I've pulled up on my... hate for trailers. I'll watch it. I'll sneak through. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. You can watch it one eye open.
Yeah.
So we got a Zombieland sequel, Zombieland Double Tap. We got the trailer this week.
Yeah.
Everyone's back, you know, but now they've like won Academy Awards. So like Academy Award winner Woody Harrelson, he might have had it before that. Academy Award winner Jesse Eisenberg, or maybe they're just nominations.
Yeah.
Emma Stone's won one. Abigail Breslin. Everyone's, basically looks like exactly the same film. If 10 years are supposed to have gone by in this zombie land, not much seems to have really changed. You can still wander about and, you know, pretty much do what you want. They go into the White House in the trailer and stuff like that. Did you watch the trailer?
I did a scrub through of the trailer just to get an idea. Are you a fan of the original?
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think it's like, it's not one of my favourites, but it's pretty good.
Is this too late, do you think? Is this film too late?
I don't know if it's... Yeah, I don't know. It's weird to think that the other film was 10 years ago, because it doesn't feel like that.
I think the other film was too early, is the problem.
Yeah, the other film should have been like 2013 or something, and this should have been the sequel.
Yeah.
They're all, you know, people like Jesse Eisenberg, Emma Stone, who were like obviously known actors, but now they're, you know, they're household names. So interesting to see them come back for it, because, you know, sometimes you look at this and you think maybe certain people won't come back for it. Maybe it'll be Woody Harrelson with a whole new ragtag crew. But yeah, it looks like a good laugh. There's not really many zombie things in the trailer. I think you maybe see a couple of zombies at one point, but there's also been a game announced for it called Zombieland Double Tap Road Trip. That's too long a name for a game.
Ooh, is this like a mobile
Zombieland game? Double Tap Road Trip. No, it was announced for PS4, Switch, really? PC, all the gubbins. But yeah. To go back and just, let's just call the game Zombieland or Zombieland Road Trip.
Just call it.
It don't need to be called Zombieland Double Tap Road Trip.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, looks, Zombieland Road Trip. That's the one to go with there.
Yeah, it looks like a top-down sort of strategy game. I'm looking at some screenshots now. It looks kind of shit. Sorry. One of the missions is find a clean-ish bathroom.
I mean, so it's a movie tie-in game, so they're never, you know, they're never that great, but
no. Okay, I had another trailer for you. You may have seen this one, because you don't, it's not one of those trailers that you're going to be looking at and going, oh well, it's ruined everything. So it's the A24 movie from the Witch director, Robert Eggers. Black and white nightmare called The Lighthouse, starring Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson. What do you think? Did you see the trailer for this?
I had a scrub through.
He had a scrub.
I saw a couple of tentacles and I was like, I just watched it. I just watched the film.
I don't know. It looks good. I like the vibes. A hypnotic and hallucinatory tale of two lighthouse keepers on a remote and mysterious New England island in the 1890s. All there is, there's like a voiceover all the way through the trailer, I noticed, which is just somebody, I don't know who it is, it might be Willem Dafoe, saying, why'd you spill your beans? Like, somebody spilt their beans, and it's become a key plot point.
Is that like the new Wood Dow like to live deliciously? This guy who knows how to come out with like catchphrases.
Every film he does has got to have a catchphrase.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he's gone on to do something like this, because, you know, do a film that's remotely successful and you seem to get snapped up and you're doing the big budget blockbusters and all that crapola, or at least they didn't snap him up to do one of the horror franchise movies. He's weird, gone away and he's done his own thing.
The Witch doesn't seem to work as a demo for the bigger blockbuster stuff, you know what I mean? It feels more like a demo for sort of gritty TV stuff.
Oh yeah, definitely. But I think if you have a successful film in the horror genre, I think you become a sought after name, which is fine, obviously. Yeah, but this looks good. I thought it's Batman and the Green Goblin having a bit of a bit of a time about it. Yeah, those two, isn't it?
I could watch Willem Dafoe in pretty much anything as well, so yeah, I'm good for this.
Could you watch him in, like, EastEnders?
Yeah. I don't watch EastEnders, but I would watch
it. I don't watch EastEnders, and I wouldn't watch EastEnders, but if Willem Dafoe is turning up, right, in any context.
Yeah.
And the final thing is, I might get involved in this, Luke. I don't know if you want to get involved in it as well. Basically, to celebrate It Chapter 2, there's going to be a Vaults experience in London this August, 31st of August.
You love these things.
It's free.
I
love these things. I've only ever been to one before.
You're always going to these things.
You're trying to experience the film. Just watch the film. Don't have to live it. I'd say. But this sounds pretty cool. So basically, it's free. So you can try and book tickets on Tuesday, August the 6th, on the Warner Brothers website. And there's these vaults underneath Waterloo Station. You might know that. You might have been there. You might have lived there for a week or two.
I did.
As a former London man. But basically there's going to be an experience. Like, there's going to be Pennywise.
You know what?
There
might be... I'm up for an experience. So I mean, I won't be going to the London, you know, alleyways, and I'm up for an experience, sure.
There's just going to be the worst Pennywise you've ever seen. It's just going to be a guy in a wig and a makeup going, oh,
and we've got crazy golf.
And we've even got crazy golf. Apparently it's 11,000 square feet of bespoke sets built into an underground maze of disused railway tunnels.
Bespoke, when is that? August?
So it's August the 31st, but you can set an alarm for Tuesday the 6th of August, about 9 a.m. And the tickets will be available, and they're free. So if anyone's listening, they're a fan of It, and they live in or around London.
Hey, I'm a fan of It, and I live in England. That's where London is.
That's where London is. Close enough.
And I'm up for an experience.
Do you know the Queen?
Sure.
And I'm up for experience.
The Queen's house. there's Buckingham Palace. House. Yeah.
Right. And there's the Queen's house. Is she in? No.
No. Any other news? That sounds good, by the way. I'm up for that.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I got down for the old news. Have I missed anything? I'll probably miss something massive.
No, I think you've done all of it. The news.
Yeah.
What's done. Steph and the Guff, have you watched anything good?
I haven't watched a lot, you know. I started watching that Amazon Prime series, The Boys, based on Garth Ennis. Is it Garth Ennis?
Yeah. Garth Ennis, creator of The Preacher. Have you read The Boys?
I've read a bit of The Boys, but I don't think I've read a lot. Have you read The Boys?
A couple of volumes worth.
Yeah, I think I maybe volumes. And I've only watched two episodes so far, but it seems all right. It's got that flavor, which is the, what's the CW? Is it CW, like superhero stuff, like The Flash and?
Yeah, it definitely.
It's got that flavor, and I don't like any of that stuff, and I don't watch it. So that's the only thing that's putting me off at the moment. But so far, it seems at least the uber violence and the gore is kind of making up for that. And Carl Urban, who I think is trying to be English.
Yeah, he's trying to be a proper London Cockney.
He's trying to be a proper London geezer, mate. But the thing is, he sounds just Australian.
Well, he's Kiwi, isn't he?
So he's well, there we go. New Zealand, that's what's happened there.
The New Zealanders like being called Kiwi. I just thought it might be
Yeah, they like it. They love it. They want it.
So The Boys. So I'm about four episodes in. It's like trashy to the point of, it's really fun and really sort of engaging and insane, and it's full of like pretty horrific scenery and gore and stuff. I'm kind of loving it. I mean, I'm up for something that isn't serious, and also, I kind of feel like, but this is very close to comic book, by the way. As far as I know, it's hitting all the same beats so far. I just feel like the problem is they do this. What is the next step for comic book adaptations? I feel like this is the final.
But then again, like Kick-Ass has come and gone like over 10 years ago. And, you know, I think a lot of people said the same thing when that came and went. People said like, this is the...
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the anti-comic book movie, you know, that's it. I think people like a nice little refreshment, something a little bit different to cleanse the palate. But I think people always kind of like come back to the...
Yeah. Well, I'm enjoying it so far. I think it feels kind of light and breezy. I don't mind sort of zoning in and out as I'm watching it. It's just a good, fun sort of casual TV entertainment.
There's lot of scumbags in it as well that you kind of want to see.
Most of them scumbags. See them. Simon Pegg is in it.
Playing a character's dad, and I'm like, there's 10 years between those two actors.
Well, so Simon Pegg, Wee Huey, the main character in the comic book, his likeness was based on Simon Pegg. So I think it's almost a bit of an Easter egg sort of thing to have him play the dad. But I think his American accent is just as dodgy as Carl Urban's.
Yeah, it's a bit dodgy. I was thinking that.
I love Simon Pegg, but that's a strange American accent.
Yeah. It's almost like, why have Simon Pegg in it if you want him to be American?
I always thought House's accent was pretty bad. He was already playing House. But I've seen numerous reports of people saying, no, it's actually fantastic. There are a lot of Americans who have no idea he's putting on an accent. Like it's, and also, I think the person who he auditioned for didn't know he was English. And he did the accent as part of the audition, and he didn't. They must be
screw you.
Yeah, exactly.
Screw you.
Screw you.
Yeah, so I also watched the animated adaptation of Batman Hush. Don't know if you've seen that or read that.
I read it a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, so even though the comic is kind of like a who's who of, you know, the main Batman, literally everyone you'd expect to see makes an appearance in one way or another. In this, because it's a lot more streamlined, you know, to still include those characters feels a bit too much. And some characters have been swapped out. In particular, like a very big reveal is completely absent, essentially. Yeah. And it kind of just feels like it has, it's just like a nothing story, like that doesn't, it just feels like a bad episode of the animated show, when Hush is like a really good, interesting story. So yeah, I was pretty disappointed by it, unfortunately. Sorry to say, Luke.
Sorry about that. Anything else?
That's it. What about you? What about you?
I watched Final Space. You seen that? The TV anime thing.
Final Space.
Netflix animated TV. So you look at it, it's like a, it looks very Rick and Morty on the face of it. It's that sort of irreverent looking animated TV show set in space, but it's really kind of strange. It's quite serious in some of the themes it tells, and there's real stakes. Characters die. It's really emotional, full of pathos, and kind of heartbreaking at times. I'm not sure I completely enjoyed it because the main character is a little bit annoying. The jokes just don't land as much as they probably should do. And you can tell they're trying to aim for a sort of Peter Quill sort of vibe to the main character, but it just doesn't quite land all the time. But it's still definitely worth watching. Give it a solid 7.5 out of 10. Yeah.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah, yeah. The music's great as well. It's nice. But other than that, not much.
Just this film, eh?
Yeah, yeah. So, The Hitcher.
So,
you got some info on The Hitcher?
Hitcher. Not an adaptation of the Mighty Boosh character of the same name, right?
I'm a Cockney. No, not.
Or maybe. Heels up inside you. So, The Hitcher is a 1986 American road action horror film directed by Robert Harmon and written by Eric Red. Stars Rutger Hauer as a seemingly suicidal and homicidal maniac, and C. Thomas Howell as his primary victim.
So,
a young man who escapes the clutches of a murderous hitchhiker is subsequently stalked by the Hitcher and framed for his crimes.
Yep. IMDb gives it 7.3 out of 10, which is higher than I thought it would be. Rotten Tomatoes, 61%. Board of Advisors, I think we asked, what's your favourite Rutger Hauer movie? Anthony Doyle said, being one of the few who doesn't love Blade Runner, I think that The Hitcher is the best one of his that I've seen. Michael Hyatt said, Rutger Hauer's best performance was in Blade Runner. And he quotes that all these moments will be lost in time, like Tears in the Rain. That is a great moment for Rutger Hauer. Heverstack Yeaton says, it's hard to not choose Hobo with his shotgun, which I have seen. I don't know if I call it my favourite Rutger Hauer movie, but it's a lot of fun. And I think I watched it at like 2 in the morning or something, so I might have been halfway to sleep when I was watching it.
What, you watched Hobo with a Shotgun at 2 in the morning?
Something like that, yeah. I remember being...
Jesus, you must have had some fever dreams that night.
Tommy Draper says, The Hitcher is definitely one of his most iconic roles. Brilliant film and performance. So, The Hitcher... I watched this when I was quite... I remember scenes when I was quite young, and I watched it again recently thinking it was going to be something, but it's not that something. This is a weird movie, and it doesn't tell you it's going to be a weird movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just... It kind of just, like, snowballs and just keeps snowballing, doesn't it? It's just one of those, like, you think it's going to be a certain type of film or go a certain type of way, and it's just not... It's not like a traditional... thriller in ways. It's almost like, I mean, I know Edward Harvey mentioned this in the group as well, but you are almost made to think, without it expressively being said, that Rutger Hauer's character could be potentially something of a supernatural figure, because he seems to just pop up everywhere, and sort of, you know, the fact he kind of alludes to the main character that he's a smart boy, he should be able to figure out why he's following him or why he's terrorizing him. And we're never really you know, in so many ways, told how or why the events tend to unfold. They just keep unfolding, unfolding, to the point where you're just like, well, this would never happen. This is utterly, this is kind of ridiculous. But then you
many,
kind of
many
just...
moments where you feel like, what? How did that happen? But you just sort of have to, because I think you go into it thinking it's going to be a sort of a serious thriller, kind of realistic, but it's this. It could be done as that, as a serious thriller, very realistic. It could be done in that way. And I think the remake is more that way. Then it's more and more illogical. At one point, I'm thinking, so maybe he's a sort of demon guy. But then the more I think about it, the more I think it's just a sort of magic realist horror movie that's just doesn't worry about logic.
He's just a right... When you think about it, he's a right knobhead, isn't he? He's just a right knobhead. You're like, oh, have a day off, mate, and you got home to go to. Fucking hell!
Did you think it was all? Is there a part of you thinks it might be all in his head? Because for the first 30 minutes, I kind of felt like, oh, maybe he's just his id or something. That's
almost like it was in his head, and he was the one committing these acts. And you know, I mean, it's fairly open ended to the point where, sure, that could be an explanation. Even if you watch the whole thing, you're like, that could still be what actually happened, but again, it doesn't officially say it was 1, 2, 3, or 4 things.
Yeah, I mean, there's points where it could go Black Swan territory in terms of like it's like a psychological thing, but there's too many other people who know he's there. No, it's not the kid. Do you know?
Yeah.
What I mean? So I don't know. I just have to take it as a expressionist piece of art, and you sort of read into it as and what you will, and that's fine.
Yeah, but I mean, Rutger Hauer does really well as this sort of like opposing, quite terrifying force.
even though
like we don't really see him commit any acts of violence directly. A lot of it's off screen.
Yeah, no, we don't.
Like people end up dead, and you know, fingers end up chopped off, and you know, we see him firing some guns and stuff. But even that, like,
yeah, I think we only see him firing guns at. Oh no! But halfway through, we see him firing
a gun while smoking and driving. Dangerous.
Yeah, and we see him jump through a window. But other than that, it's just driving around, and the way he drives around is like that's not a normal car. Like it's sort of, it feels like he can make his car do. Like if he wanted to, he could just drive up a wall and over a house. Like it feels like he's got that ability to make his car move like that.
He's got really good luck. Like, you just drive through something and you smash through a house. And go, hey, my car's still going, mate.
Bit of trivia. Rutger Hauer did all of his own car stunts in this film.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did he do his own smoking while driving and shooting a helicopter?
Did all his own stunts. That's all I'm saying. So Rutger Hauer plays John Ryder. Caesar Thomas Howell plays Jim Halsey, who's the boy who picks up the hitchhiker, who is tormented by the hitchhiker. We also got Jennifer Jason Leigh, who I did not recognize as Jennifer Jason Leigh.
No, Jennifer Jason Leigh looks completely different.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what you mean to her, but I'm not saying age has not done her any favors, but age has definitely made her look a lot different.
It's you know when you say every 7 years, like all the cells in your body are different cells, so you're a different person. She is evidence to that fact. I mean,
she is
you from 7 years ago, and you look similar. She's morphed into a different person.
I look the same, but I got haunted eyes.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. but yeah, so the film. There's also the music's kind of dreamy in this. It's kind of synth wavy at times. It makes you feel.
It is very. We've got the classic intro from. Oh god, I got the do 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 do.
Oh yeah.
It's like the G, which has been like which a band called Gunship, you know, Gunship.
Yeah.
They use that as like intros to their videos and stuff, which is I'm not even sure what the production company is for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it feels like quintessentially 80s genre good shit.
Good genre shit, yeah.
Good pure 80s. You got any more of that 80s for me, mate? Straight into the veins. The Hitcher is one of the classics.
There's also very little backstory about any of the characters. don't know anything about Jim Halsey, the little guy.
You find out at one point where he's going. Whether he's
San Diego, he's hired a car and he's taking it somewhere, right?
Yeah, so I think he's delivering a car from Chicago to San Diego, and he's driving. So yeah, so the film opens, he's driving in the dead of night, pouring with rain, West Texas desert, and he sees a man in a overcoat sort of thing.
Yeah.
He looks like he's got too many, I know it's raining, but he looks like he's got too many layers on anyway. No wonder he's fuming. So a guy called John Ryder basically gets in. And things are weird from the get-go. He ain't normal, is he? He's evasive, doesn't really answer any questions, doesn't really talk in a way that, you know, anyone friendly would. Standoffish, brooding.
Yeah.
Too serious. Have a laugh with me.
Grabs his leg. He forces his leg down on the accelerator and makes him speed. Yeah.
At one point they're driving and they drive past a car, an abandoned car. Obviously Ryder pushes his leg down, makes him carry on driving past it. He's like, was that your car? He's like, yeah, that was my car. I ran out of gas. But John Ryder kind of like slowly reveals things pretty much immediately. He basically says,
seconds. Yeah. He's saying, yeah, there's a dead guy in there. I killed him.
There's a dead guy. And then the same thing happened to you. I cut off his legs. I cut off his arms and I cut off his head. And he's not going to get very far.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do the same to you, Jim. And Jim is obviously shitting a brick, which you would. You'd be like, oh, I never pick up hitchhikers, and of all the ones I pick up, I have to pick up you, John Ryder, you knob.
So he could have gone a very different way here. The film could have gone with him, like Collateral. Was it called Collateral? Where he's sort of being forced to drive a guy around. He realizes his seatbelt isn't on, and he just boots him straight out of the car. This is the first illogical thing in this film. Like, if you just shove someone, they're not going to fly out of the car. Like,
they're just going to go, oh, what are you doing?
The door flies open. John Ryder flies out.
Well, the door was ajar. Right. There's a little light with a message saying the door's ajar. So he sees that first and then realizes that, you know. Yeah. So basically, Ryder's like got a knife to his face, and then Jim sees that the door's open and he kicks him out. Exactly. If me and you were in a car and I was driving along and suddenly I turned and like kicked you with both feet, even if the door was ajar, you'd go, ow!
Yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't
just go,
you'd go, ow, stab. Like you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe it was just one of those things that he's like, I'm going to have to do this. You know, sometimes you're like, I'm going to build myself up to do this, build myself up. And you do it, and it's like, it's nowhere near as effective as you perhaps thought it out to be in your head.
Do you ever have the dream where you punch someone and it's like, there's absolutely no strength in the punch? Do you know? It's like, I think it's some of the things of when you're running, but you can't, there's like the floor moves. Like you punch someone and your hand like goes back, like there's no force whatsoever.
And then that's actually a real punch of mine's like. I tested it once. I went, is this anything like the dream? And I went,
and my hand just guy turns around and goes, well, yeah, no. You punch and then you accidentally hit the fly that's on this guy's head. You lift your hand away and the fly flies away.
Yeah. What's that? That's in something. That's got
the Simpsons.
Homer.
Yeah. He becomes a boxer. Yeah.
Oh yeah, a fly's still alive. Couldn't even kill a fly. So yeah, so you essentially, like, if you kick the hitchhiker out and leave him lying in the street, he's fuming, Ryder. But Jim's like celebrating. He's like, yeah. I thought maybe he's gonna crash at this point.
Yeah.
Because he was pretty, you know, he's turning around and shouting back at the hitchhiker. Like, that's over. You know, that guy's never gonna catch up to you again. No matter what you think, is terrible luck. Okay.
Second, it's the logical thing. Second, the insane thing in this film. Jim's driving, and there's another family car, and there's a little girl in the back seat playing with a teddy bear. And then suddenly John Ryder lifts his head up, and he's in the back of the car as well. How? What the? There's so many insane things.
What I like about it is that he's managed to flag down another car.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, he's not the nicest of guys, he's not the most personable.
Yeah.
He's managed to befriend this family enough that they trust him to sit in the back with their kids
and kiss the little kid and stuff.
And kiss the little
super
girl.
Cuddly with it. Yeah.
He's like, all right, yeah, fucking coming for you. And he's playing with a teddy bear. And of course, Jim's like driving up alongside him, just going, there's a guy in your car and he's crazy and he's going to let it. It's like, it is just pretty mental.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah. And then there's
Jim nearly crashes, isn't he? And then I think he catches up to this car again a little bit later, but it's parked up. We don't see any violence again. We don't see any gore or anything, but he looks inside the car and
something dropping onto the floor, which is blood onto his shoe, right?
Yeah.
So John Ryder, has just massacred a family who just a second ago he was having a lovely time with, and then he's seen Jim drive. He's gone, right, I've had enough of this family now. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of playing happy families.
This guy, like the amount of blood and like chaos he's leaving behind him, how has he not been caught yet? How is he not been
caught? Exactly. Yeah. The fact that it only takes his involvement with Jim for the police to seemingly get involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is again, I mean, there's no logic to this film. I mean, it's a good time. It's fun. It's ridiculous. It's over the top. But
that's why I kind
no
of
logic.
Like to see it as an expressionist thing rather than a real thing. I feel that's the only way you can really sort of get a lot out of it, I guess.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The next thing is driving along, I think it's a gas station, which is where he fills up the car, and then whilst he's filling up the car, Thingy had got ahead of him and he found like a truck, and then he parked in the garage, and then he sort of
he knows what Jim's gonna do before Jim does.
How does he even know Jim's gonna fill up the car? Maybe he saw the petrol meter, I don't know. But he comes out, covers the guy in fuel. I think he even lights it, but somebody knows Jim's not gonna stay there. Gets in his car, drives away. His car sets on fire a little bit. It just seems...
all of these bits feel like they could be the finale to the film.
They're pretty big.
The final standoff. Yeah. They're all like these little meetings that they keep having, and it feels like the finale. They feel huge. So Jim basically goes to a diner, gets let in by Jennifer Jason Leigh, who plays someone called Nash. She's a waitress. She calls the police because obviously Jim is like tries basically saying there's a hitchhiker going around murdering people, he's after me. He's off his nuts. And then she makes him a sandwich or some sort of bit of grub, I don't know. Chips and a burger. And as he takes a bite, there's a bloody finger in his food. Severed finger.
So where did the finger come from? How did he get into the food? How did Jennifer Jason Leigh not see it? There's an insane amount of...
Basically, you can imagine Ryder coming down like Mission Impossible style, Like, he's found someone on the roadside. He's cut a finger off, or it's his own finger. Who knows with him? And he's Mission Impossible down while she's making the burger. And he's gone, dropped it, and he's gone all the way up. Yeah. He'd go into a lot of effort to seemingly terrorize someone because he's not. It doesn't always seem like he's trying to kill Jim.
Yeah, it seems like he's going to kill him at first, but then he just seems to torment. Like, he's trying to.
He seems to torment him, and then it's almost like he's trying to frame him for all these things he's doing, but then he keeps on doing other things.
Yeah.
So you're like, you know what I mean? There's only so much you can frame a man for, right? If you go, I framed him for that murder, and I've done another 9 murders back there. Those are also him.
It was all
and
him.
They just go,
all him, yeah.
It was all him. So basically, the police do arrive and they arrest Jim.
They think
and
it's
they
him.
Find, they think it's him because they find Ryder's bloodied knife in his pocket.
Who knows how that got there? Also, Ryder said he cut off a guy's head and legs with that knife. That's not the knife to do that with. Yeah.
Maybe it's ever so sharp. Maybe he's sharpened on a sharpening stone all night. But the police kind of don't think Jim's guilty because, you know, he's pretty irate, terrified. He's trying to get him to call various people. No one answers. Call my brother. Didn't answer. Call this person. Didn't answer. Call Babe Station. No, he didn't answer, mate. I'm sorry.
Answer, this is when he goes in the cell, right? They put him in the cell. Yeah.
So they put him in a cell overnight, and then he wakes up, and his cell door is unlocked, and he walks out, and all the police officers are dead. All the police officers have been murdered. There's only 3 of them, I think. I say only 3. Like, I could take down 3 police officers with my bare hands any moment.
Yeah.
One of the dogs is like gnawing on one of their necks.
That felt quite dreamy as well. When the dog is like, it felt like a ayahuasca ceremony, fever dream thing where the dog's just wandering past.
Yeah, and it kind of looks back at him, doesn't it? Goes like, you never guess what's happened in there.
Winks at him. Follow me. At what point when you're watching this did you think, hang on, this isn't a normal film?
I don't know. I don't know, really. Like, not from the get-go, but it's difficult to make a decision on it because, like I said, I've never seen it before. You kind of feel like you know what you're getting into, but it just spirals out of control. As I said, snowballs.
I think it was the finger for me. I was like, what? Wait. Make your pardon. How did that end up there? It's a spiral.
So Jim takes a gun, runs away, runs up into like the mountains or the sort of rocky area as loads more police arrive at the gas station. And then he walks through like desert or something like that.
Yeah.
Finds another gas station and then finds 2 police officers and takes them hostage. And then ends up speaking to like the captain on the radio, and the captain basically trying to tell him that, you know, he's not, there's nothing to do with him. There's a rogue hitchhiker on the run. And speaking of the devil, Ryder pulls up and he kills the 2 police officers with Jim in the back. And Jim at this point must be like, fucking hell, are you winding me up? You killed 5 police officers.
He's just literally winding him up. This is like a metaphor for an internet troll. This guy knows just how to hit the buttons. And then old butthurt Jim is crying as he's sort of crashing in the car.
oh God.
Do you think every time that John Ryder does something to Jimmy, he drives away and goes, has like a little chuckle to himself?
How'd you like that, Jimmy? I'm a right laugh, aren't I? 5 police officers are dead, Ryder. You've killed them. They've got families. Ah. It's worth it for the bants.
Butthurt.
It was worth it for the bants.
Yeah.
Butthurt.
So, I don't know what happens now. So, I think there's a bus that he parks up somewhere else. Oh, in the another diner. He parks up.
Yeah.
And he's eating some food. He's got his gun, and then John Ryder sits next to him.
This is
I think, quite a telling bit where Ryder, he says, "What do you want from me?" He like licks coins and he puts coins, he sticks them to his closed eyes. And he says, I don't know, you figure it out. And that's
you're a smart boy, you figure it out, yeah.
A penny for the ferryman. That's what you normally use to pay the ferryman to get you over the River Styx into the underworld. So it feels
so
like
some sort of demon, supernatural.
Yeah,
there's a good bit obviously where Jim is like, I'm going to shoot you and run the nuts. And Ryder's like, that gun's not loaded, you ain't got the bollocks. And then Ryder kind of like puts his hand out and goes, well, as soon as you do it, I'll shoot you with mine. But he's just got his hand under under the table like that. Yeah. And obviously, yeah, then he bangs the table. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
He bangs the table and he goes, ah! Ryder was really lucky there that he knew what was going down. Because if he just got shot, he'd have been like, Jesus, human.
Didn't go to plan, yeah. But he gives him the bullets. So he says, you figure it out or something. Whatever, he gives him like a handkerchief of bullets.
Yeah,
a coach pulls up. I think is Jennifer Jason Leigh on that coach, or does she get on it?
I think she is on it, and he kind of sees her, and he's like, "What the fuck?" So basically, yeah. I don't know why she's there or where she's going. I can't remember, but Jim explains to her sort of what's been going on, and she believes him, doesn't she? She basically says like, "It's a crying shame that you're getting stitched right up by this guy and all these police officers ends up dead." Yeah. But then the captain turns up and one of the officers is basically trying to get Jim to reach for his gun. He says, like, what does he say? He says,
you spat
on my wrist.
Why don't you wipe it off?
So he wants it to reach for it so he can pop a cap in his ass, kill him, because he thinks Jim's killed his colleagues. But then, of course. But then Nash saves the day and she basically pulls a gun on them.
Yeah. So this again escalates quite quickly because they go to escape.
I think this is like
the helicopter bit, right?
This is like Grand Theft Auto 5. You've shot a police officer and now a helicopter's after you and all the patrol cars and you've only got a rocket launcher only.
Yeah.
And you've got to get out of there.
So it gets mental pretty quickly. There's a helicopter. I think they shoot the helicopter down or something. I can't remember. Or does Ryder turn up?
So Ryder turns up. So obviously they're shooting after the police officers, but Nash drops her gun. And Ryder just turns up again, as I said, driving, smoking a fag, trying to light it at one point. Come on, give me a light. Come on. And he shoots down a helicopter with a revolver, which I can't imagine is that easy. Or maybe it is really easy.
It is when you're a supernatural creature.
Yeah, because he shoots down the helicopter and then all the police cars crash as well.
He knew what he was doing. So they get away. They park up in a motel and they spend the night watching TV, eating a couple of Twinkies, Chinese takeout. It's lovely.
There's a bit that made me laugh in this where he sort of Jim sort of lets Nap drift off to sleep and then he sort of starts creeping away. He's going to go and have a shower. Shit. But then he accidentally turns the TV on really loud.
Yeah.
He accidentally goes, and then recently, oh shit.
We've all done it. So he's having a shower and he's going, and Ryder, again, so how does Ryder know where they are? He just knows, mate.
You
can smell Jim out, sniff him out.
Smell her. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he turns up basically and lies down next to Nash. And when Jim comes out, she's gone. And then randomly, out of nowhere, the police are suddenly like, you gotta come and help us because something's happening here. And I thought, why are the police? So 2 seconds ago, they were like ready to murder him. And now they're kind of like, you've got to help us because it was this other guy after all you told us about. And now he's got the girl you like and he's tied her between two trucks.
Yeah.
And he's basically going to rip her in half like wet toilet paper unless you go and talk him down.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Now she's like tied up, she's screaming and he's like revving his foot. He said he can't shoot him because his foot released from the clutch and that'll move the truck forward. So he sits in there. I don't know what he says to him. I can't remember. He says, kill me or something.
Jim basically gets in and sort of starts talking to Ryder, gives him a gun, tells him to basically pop a cap in his ass. But Jim's like, I can't because as soon as you died, she'd die anyway. And then Ryder kind of just goes, oh, I've had enough of this now. And
it's been like
releases
minutes.
The clutch
yeah.
and lets Nash rip in half. Like,
again, we don't see anything. It's not very gory, really, this film.
No.
It's all suggestive, really. Yeah. So again, insane. Absolutely insane moment in the film. So the last it does feel like I just have a ton of moments in this film that maybe aren't that connected other than by the road. I don't know. So it ends with him in custody. Jim says, I want to talk to him, but then just spits on his face.
Yeah, goes in his face, and he seems to quite like it.
Yeah. So they're going to take Ryder to prison in like a prison bus situation.
Yeah.
And,
so suddenly it is weird because suddenly the police are completely, they've completely got, oh, Jim, you are innocent after all. Yeah. We were trying to kill you. But it's true, you are innocent. Don't worry about it. Ryder's the one doing all the nonsense.
Throughout this, like, Jim's got crazier and crazier. Like, he just looks disheveled to the point of he's not the same man anymore. He's changed.
He's like, I've had a bloody enough of this nonsense.
Yeah. So they're driving a different way. They're taking Jim to his house. I don't know where they're taking him. And Jim's like, no, because he's going to get out, which he, you know, he probably will do. So he steals the gun. He says, have you got some change?
Yeah, he goes, can I have one of your cigarettes? And he immediately snatches up his gun. Chasing down the prison bus.
Yeah.
And already, but when he, by the time he catches up to the prison bus, like, Ryder's already got like a shotgun. How did he get out? I can't really remember.
I can't remember.
He's killed the deputies and he leaps off of the bus, out of the bus, sorry, into Jim's car, like, yeah, face first. And as he comes through, Jim makes a quite hilarious noise. Jim's just like,
yeah.
He literally can't believe what's happening. Can't believe it. A lot of crazy stuff has happened up to this. But Ryder jumping headfirst through the windshield just takes the cake.
Yeah. Do you think they call him Ryder because of the song Riders on the Storm? Riders on the Storm.
The door's up.
Yeah.
Maybe. You'll have to ask. Eric Red.
Yeah. So they have a little bit of a thing. Oh, yeah. So he breaks. Ryder flies out in front of the car. I think he's shooting at him and he runs Ryder over. But then he's not dead.
No, I mean, it's a classic Michael Myers situation.
Yeah.
Classic big, horrible bad guy. Ate his bad guy. Ain't dead. Ain't dead until you put a bullet in his head, and even then, you can't be sure. So yeah, runs him over, and then goes to the car to see his lifeless corpse, and we get the classic. Thought he was dead, but he jumps up, but then, you know, Jim pumps him full of lead because
he finally kills him, like, properly finishes the job.
Finally kills him. Sun sets. Jim's happy as Larry. The girl he liked is dead. Unfortunately, imagine that, like, when you get to San Diego, like, where you were going, and they go, all right, where have you come from? I'll come from Chicago, San Diego. Had a nice trip. You'll never guess what's been going down, mate.
You'll never guess. Read my blog post. I'm going to start a podcast about this,
basically, it'll be on a Twitter thread. I'll write the Twitter thread tonight, right? Make sure you set aside half hour to read it, because it's going to be crazy, all right? The craziest bit was when a guy... It wasn't when a guy shot at that helicopter. It was when a guy jumped through my windshield head first. Oh, my God!
Yeah. The ending mirrors the very opening of the film. We see Ryder lighting a cigarette of a match. And the very, very end of this film shows Jim doing the same. So it's a bit of... He's become the monster in a way. Yeah.
Same cigarette.
The exact same cigarette.
Yeah. Have you seen the sequel?
No.
There's a sequel with the guy playing Jim Halsey again, plays him again. It's called The Hitcher, The Hitcher 2. I've Been Waiting. And The Hitcher is someone called Jack Busey. The Hitcher. Played by Jake Busey. Yeah. So Gary Busey's son. And then there was a remake with Mr. Sean Bourne. Mr. Sean Bourne. In 2007, I've not actually seen this, but he looks utterly nails in it. He's got like a crew cut and the kind of face where you're like, it'll murder you while you sleep. He looks like someone. He's got a look about him. Sean Bean.
I'd be interested to watch the one with Jake Busey. I can't imagine it's good, but I remember the Sean Bourne one being no way near as bonkers.
Ah, Sean Bourne. I bet Sean Bourne dies in the end, because Sean Bourne dies in the end of everything, right? I said this today, and somebody said, have you seen him in the advert for the new Yorkshire tea? Like, the new advert for Yorkshire tea? I went, no. He went, dies in the end of that as well. He just finishes doing his voiceover, and then he goes, yeah.
Is that true?
Contractually obliged. No, it's not true, but I wish it was.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'm a big fan of Sean Bean's look in this Hitcher remake, because he looks like every video game protagonist from like 2007.
One to three. Yeah.
Yeah, he looks great, man.
Who do you think looks better, Sean Bourne or Rutger Hauer?
Well, I've only seen pictures of Sean Bourne in this, so I think Rutger Hauer like embodies this role, doesn't he? Even as I said, even though I'd never seen this film before, it was someone I was very familiar with. A lot of the imagery from, just from
because he
that.
Is otherworldly. Like the way his persona is kind of otherworldly,
and he does that otherworldly thing really well. Like obviously, in Blade Runner, he plays a replicant, so he plays someone who's not of this world, but someone who's like discovering that humanity, and you know, he sees himself as more than human because of that. So there's something about him that he knows what's going on.
Maybe this is
like a Blade Runner prequel, sequel. Maybe he's a robot.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a replicant, this Hitcher.
So
I've
got another game of the name game for you.
Oh yeah, game of the name game. The most popular section. Yeah.
So I give you a story synopsis and you name the film using the convention, the Hitcher. So number one, man is driving along and there's a large container of alcohol sitting on the side of the road.
It was a great film. The Pitcher.
Correct, yeah. And number two, man is driving along a road. You see how this works. Man is driving along a road and he falls out of his car, rips his bloody jeans. Looks like he needs to call.
The Stitcher.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, correct.
Oh, I got to call the Hitcher, didn't I?
Number three. An entire working class are driving along a road and they happen to find an entire upper class on the roadside. Looks like their Rolls Royces and private jets have broken down. The working class are going to have to pick up.
I don't know that one.
You want to come back to it?
Just tell me.
The Richer. They're going to have to pick up the Richer. So
that's easy. I don't know what I was thinking then. I wasn't thinking on the same wavelength.
Number four. Superman grows his hair long and white and finds himself in Middle Earth.
Superman?
Yeah.
The Gandalf?
Superman grows his hair long and white and finds himself in Middle Earth.
is this
coming out soon on Netflix?
The Snitcher? I don't know.
No, The Witcher. So
The Witcher. You confuse me by saying about Middle Earth.
Well,
it ain't in Middle Earth, is it, mate? I mean, come on.
All right, I was being flippant, but you know, it's going on Netflix.
Yeah, I should have got that. When you said Superman, I was thinking actual Superman.
Number five.
Yeah,
a man picks up a homeless man and gives him a lift, and the guy goes on and on and on about some religious text or another.
The Jehovah's Witness.
A man picks up a homeless man and gives him a lift, and the guy goes on and on and on about some religious text or another. I'll tell you again. A man picks up a homeless man and gives him a lift, and the guy goes on and on and on about some religious text or another.
Stop saying it! I don't know. Oh, what is that one?
The Scripture.
Ah! You know what? The reason I'm it's difficult because it's just one word.
Yeah.
Give me more words and I'll be nailing it. But
yeah, especially you've got to get the word exactly right. Whereas the Hills of Eyes, you've got a couple of avenues, a couple of entryways into the answer.
I need those avenues, Luke. Otherwise, that's I'll never be able to survive in day to day life.
2 out of 5. Well done.
Is this officially replacing
quiz? Yeah.
Trivia. I'm fine with that.
I'm just trying to keep myself interested when I'm looking at, because I don't want to. I hate the ones where you just sort of feel like this is just the IMDb trivia page.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And you've been doing that for 102 episodes, so it's back time you made some effort.
I did something. Yeah. So, review time.
Yeah, it's good. I liked it. It feels like it's a fun watch. It's a very, it's a very strange film, but it's a definitive role for old Rutger. And it feels like it feels like a lot more than just a standard thriller.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot more going on. It's crazy.
Crazy.
I'd probably give it a B minus, I reckon.
Mate. So, I also gave it a B minus. So this film the first time I watched it recently, I was like, I'm not too sure I was getting on with that, but I kind of enjoyed it, but I'm not too sure about it. But now I'm like, you know, like any odd movie, it's like the oddities that make it stick in your mind. It's like it's the weirder points that make you think that you can't quite forget. So I think it's something there is something special. It's kind of lyrical. It's sort of more poetic and not. It doesn't care about logic. It's just trying to be.
I don't care about your logic, mate.
It's trying to.
But halfway through this.
Sorry, muse on a theme sort of thing. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, it was about halfway through this film. I was kind of a bit like, I don't know if I'm really enjoying it that much.
Yeah.
But I respected it for kind of spiraling out of control and keep adding different layers to this, you know, mystery, even though it wasn't a mystery that we ever found out anything about. Why is he doing it? How's he doing it?
Who is he?
What the hell's going on? Who is he? What's his problem? Why is he such a knobhead?
Yeah.
All that stuff. So yeah, it was incredibly.
They should do like a modern day Uber version of this. And at the end, instead of lighting up the match, he goes 1 star on Uber. Just reviews the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. And it'll be Sean Bean.
And it'll be Sean Bean, yeah.
And he'll turn around and he'll go, have a bit of Yorkshire tea, you slag.
And he dies. So, that's all we've got for today. Are we doing, when is Crawl out?
So I think Crawl is out on maybe the 23rd of August. So we still got a little way
to
go before Crawl. And then I think Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark is out after that.
About there's something else, isn't there? I think there's something else.
It's Chapter 2. Early September.
Okay, so you've got September. A little while to start,
We discussed maybe watching Blade
next week. Yeah.
If you're game for that, considering the announcement of the new Blade and it's got horror elements in it, in all three of the films really, isn't it? But I'd say the first one was the most horror-y, right?
Yeah, I don't know. The second one has got, it's Del Toro, and it's got some, you know, the sort of the Uber vampire things that,
The Reapers
of them being kind of creepy, like super creepy.
But maybe we'll talk about Blade. We'll talk about Wesley Snipes because there's some good Wesley Snipes factoids from his involvement in the trilogy, including the fact they had CGI his eyes on when he refused to open his eyes. Blade Trinity, and he was getting everyone to refer to him as Blade on set. Yeah. I'm sure we could find a load of good Blade stories to discuss.
Yeah,
so that should be good. And considering a new film's going to be out, it'd be nice to chat about that.
Cool. All right, man, let's see that. So this show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com. Actually, just go to Facebook. Come and join the Facebook group. We chat about random bollocks. We've even had a few other people getting involved in the name game, bringing in their own questions.
Yeah, exactly. And respectful to the name game, because it isn't. But
so yeah,
she's in your lane. I'm joking, of course. I'm joking. I said I'm not saying it's disrespectful to get involved in the name game, but have some respect for Luke Condor because
the effort I put into these.
He takes mere minutes a week trying to sort out. I'm joking, of course. Get involved if you like the name game. Put your name game
questions,
clues. Because I mean, it was tough. One, the was it the Tesco chain store
mass order?
Okay, mass order.
Tesco chain store.
It was good. It had so many layers to it.
Yeah.
That was good. So yeah, that'd be fun to get involved in.
So just go to Facebook. I think you can just search for Horror Hangout. I think you have to go Horror Hangout or Horror Hangout Board of Advisors. Maybe we should change the name to Horror Hangout. By the way, that was Ben Scaife who gave us the other quiz. Thank you very much, Ben. It's nice to have you on the group. Big shout out to that dude.
Big shout out, Ben.
Yeah, get to Facebook, Horror Hangout Board of Advisors. Thanks to Covert Camera for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, thank you. And thanks to my co-host, Ben.
If you enjoyed the show, thank you very much, Luke, for also being a right horror dude.
If you enjoyed the show. Right, cheers, mate. Let's go.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, man. I don't know what to say. I've not ended this very professionally. What do you want to do? Should we go?
Basically, a good way to end it. Just kind of go the end and then do a wink to screen.
Okay.
Okay, usually we just do, I think usually we just say bye, Luke.
Okay.
Just say bye, like we're on a children's TV show.
Great, cool. Bye, wink.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.